All right. I'm going to use the mic, Johnny. I seem to have trouble with that lapel thing, so we'll just go with the mic here this morning. So I see we all made it through Christmas. That's great. Although I'm not so sure when you guys look just a little tired today. I just say that. I can understand that too. I feel a little bit tired as well. And I don't know what you're thinking about your Christmas decorations right now, but I know mine are ready to come down. How about y'all? Are they ready to come down? Maybe some of you like to keep them up longer because you took so much time putting them up. But frankly, I just feel like it's time to take it down. However, reflecting back before all of this, it was pretty exciting when I started to put them up. I don't know about you guys, but putting up decorations, it tends to be one of those things that it wants to get done. I think I mentioned to you before when I was doing decorations, it kind of just spills out. It comes upstairs and it just goes blah all over the place. And then I have to figure out what to do with blah. And I'm not sure what to do with it all the time because some of it doesn't work anymore and some of it's not appropriate and some of it is appropriate and some of it's, I don't know. So you work it out. And eventually all the boxes get sorted out, kind of. Didn't really open all of them, but most of them. And you got all the stuff set up. And you're decorating. And you're shopping. And you're spending time with friends. And oh, by the way, did you guys have any parties this Christmas? I always like, if you're just first here, it's the first time here. I think every Advent Sunday I asked you if you had a party or if you planned a party or could you please plan a party because I felt it was so important for us to get together and do things together with one another. All right, who had a good party? Any good parties out there? Oh, no. Okay. Well, it seems fair that we should ask the other question. Who had a bad party? All right, well, then you shouldn't have thrown that party. Okay. Anyhow, there's a lot of parties that happen, good and bad. But interesting thing about Christmas, and maybe some other parties that you've been at too, the Christmas party is kind of unique. We decorate a lot. We invite friends and family over. We buy gifts for people. We do all of this stuff. And yet, a Christmas party, I believe, is supposed to be about Jesus. But it ends up being a big celebration of our place, our home, and of who we are, and the friends that we have around us, which isn't always bad. But there are times when actually you finish Christmas and you sit down and you think, oh, I guess I wasn't really thinking about Jesus the whole time I was doing this. While I was decorating, I'm just concerned people might actually like it, and I have to put it up, so I'll put it up. And while I'm getting these gifts, I just want to get them and get the right one. I want to make sure it's right. And by the time it's all done, you're just like, what just happened there? What kind of party was that? Do you ever have you had a birthday party where you have a party for one of your relatives and you forget the relative in the party? You actually forget the person who it's for? And yet we do that all the time with Christmas, right? We kind of have a party, but we totally forget that there's actually something about this party that's so more significant than what we've made it up to be. It's all about Jesus. This morning I'm going to talk to you just a little bit about the gift that he gives us. One of the main gifts he gives us, and that is the gift of salvation. And as we look at that, it's going to be important that we kind of look at that gift. But in order to really appreciate it, we kind of have to look at the good news and the bad news. But let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the fact that you are a God that loves us and that even though as we celebrate and get caught up on our own things, you still love us, and you still bring yourself to us. You long to be with us, and you meet us. So this morning, as we talk a little bit about your gift that you've given to us, I trust that you would share in our hearts that gift, and that you would set us free to enjoy that gift that you have for us. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right. I still think it's a little quiet here, considering we have all these children here, but let's go for it anyhow. All right, kids, I'll try and make this quick for you, all right? Should we do it fast? So there is bad news that really helps us appreciate good news. And we know that in the Bible, it talks about the fact that Jesus came for a reason. He came for our salvation. He came to save us. He came to redeem us. He came to make us new. He came to change the world around us that we didn't even know needed to be changed in some cases. But there was bad news involved there. There was this thing called sin. And this thing called sin, unfortunately, was something that stood in the way and divided us or separated us from the very thing that would give us life, and that is God. And so Jesus, God in his love, sent down his son Jesus to be that person who would actually put on flesh and become the gift of salvation for us on our behalf because we simply couldn't do it on our own. We had no ability to do it. And so God gives us a gift of salvation. Now, within the bad news, I want to tell you something, and I think you all know this, but I'll remind you that, yeah, we all know about this sin thing for the most part, most of us here, and yet sin in its nature is what we call deceptive. Ever heard that before? It's deceptive. So it comes as something that's pleasing to us. I heard it said once that sin is dressed in something you like. Right? Sin is dressed in something you like. And so it's a good thing. It's really pleasing. It kind of grabs us. And in James 1:14, I think it is, it says that we're taken away by our own lusts. So it's our own things that we really like, we really want, and we just reach out to them. And so it comes that way. And it's very deceptive. And it kind of warms up to us, right? Think of a cuddly, warm Christmas Sunday or Christmas Day where you're just cuddling up to the things you have. Now, I'm not saying your things are sin. Don't get me wrong here. I'm just saying it kind of warms up to you. And it's things that we like. And little by little, we just kind of become more, less discerning about what they are. Because keep in mind, in Romans it says that the wages of sin is death. Oh my goodness. So we have to keep that in mind while we're being lulled into our state of insanity and receiving what we think is good for us. And in all along, the plan is not to cuddle us, not to love us, and not to play with us. It's to what? To seek out after us and deceive us and actually destroy us and bring death to us. There are so many situations where we don't realize we're actually cuddling up to it and we're getting warm to it. And let's just go over a couple things, even though it's just Christmas. Let me have a little bit of fun here. At the dinner table, we'll take it to home. At the dinner table, we tend to leave things on the table that we shouldn't. One of the things that I think is very common for married couples, especially those who have been married for a while, is not the passion, but the passivity that we have allowed to creep into our relationships. And so we just become comfortable with it. And we just allow ourselves to be passive. And we don't even work on our relationships anymore because we've kind of given up on it. We almost become just friends that are sort of living together, but we're not actually in love. This is one way that we can sort of cuddle up to sin and be deceived and pulled away. And ultimately it kills. It takes away the relationship. It kills the relationship. Maybe you're just leaving on your table bitterness. Maybe there's something you're bitter about. It's just festering. It's becoming something that's actually killing you, but you become so comfortable with it, so familiar with it, that it's just part of you. Or maybe you're not forgiving people. There's something that's happening, and unforgiveness is just laying there on the table, and it's just eating away at you little by little by little, and we rationalize why it's okay that we've done that, and yet it's bringing actual death to us. Or maybe you're in a dating relationship and you've been with this person for a long time, and little by little you become closer and closer. Now you're involved sexually. It's just something you do. And so we just do it. It's going to be okay. It's all good. I live in Christ's freedom. And there's so many other things that we do where we just, in our own hearts, we decide to do something. We become comfortable with it little by little, step by step, and all of a sudden, boom! It's taken us. Merry Christmas. But there's bad news. And sin is there. And I don't know how it makes itself known or how it sits at your dinner table, what it might look like. But I just want to remind you that it is deceptive. And it looks great. As a matter of fact, it's the greatest ride of our life. But unfortunately, it leads to us being captured and lost. And not involved and not enjoying our relationship with Jesus, not having him. So there's a scripture verse that really covers this really well. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." The bad news is we're perishing. The good news is Jesus sent his Son. Jesus sent his Son, Jesus, in flesh, as a person, so that we might have life. Life. It's a divine life. It's not maybe the good life, as we call it, but it's, yeah, the God life. And it may not look good like the good life does, although it ends in death. It looks like God life, which may not look good, but it does end in life. And it provides for us. I think the scripture says he will give us life. He will give it abundantly. It says that he will give us, he will do things all according to his glory and according to his pleasure. But he will give us a life that actually provides for all we need. So it's a life that is a God life that provides everything we need. And this God life comes at a moment when we sort of breaks into our history, at a moment when Jesus is brought down. He comes down in the form of a baby, and he actually comes down in the form of the baby with the plan and purpose and promise to save us. We have good news. We have a lot of good news. You see, Satan came with a plan to destroy and to bring death, but Jesus came with a plan to restore, redeem, and to heal. And to not just do partial healing, not partial restoration, not partial reclaiming of who you are and redeeming, but full, to the full. We don't experience all of it here on earth, but we will experience it when we go to see Jesus. Jesus came for it all. You see, when he came down to earth, there was a flawed system. There was something there that wasn't allowing us to connect with God, and it was sin. And when he came down to earth, he needed to correct that flaw. And so in the form of Jesus, he provided a way. Jesus, of course, his ultimate plan was not just to come down to earth in the form of a baby, but was to die on the cross for us so that we might be saved. And so he corrected that flaw. He allowed us to have the opportunity to have life by giving his son Jesus. Not only did he correct the flaw of sin and take care of it through Jesus, but he actually redeemed and restored. And you know what redeeming is like. It's like buying something back. We've lost a lot of things in our life, whether it's people or in our own lives, whether it's we've been shamed by Satan, we've been deceived to the point where we're guilty, we're always feeling guilty, we're paralyzed by it, we can't move around, we physically have some issues, we have issues that we have to deal with from our psychological side, things that are happening in our lives that we are dealing with that are overwhelming. And yet God came not only to save us and to take care of the problem of sin, he actually came to redeem the life that we've lost. Every ounce of it, he's come to give us life again. And he promises to do that. This is what Jesus wants to do for us. This is the gift that we're sharing. This is the gift that Katie's taken to the people in Senegal. It's the gift that we have here for us here, is to bring new life. Bring new life unto the full, in abundance. The gift is good. It's a good gift. It's not a bad gift. But we're deceived into seeing other things as being the good gift. God has given us a good gift that wants to give us life and life to the abundant. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave us everlasting life. And it's interesting. We have a choice at that point. But in the scriptures, I don't know if you've read through Hebrews, but in Hebrews it has a passage there that says, and now, because of the work he has done in making us new, we can walk boldly. We can walk boldly into his throne room, into God's throne room, to talk to him and to lay what's going on in our lives on him. And he will hear us. I wonder why. You ever thought of why it says boldly? See, I don't know how you're doing in your life and what you're experiencing, but life is tough. Right? Life is hard. And not only do things happen to us that are very challenging and hard, but also we've done things that aren't great. And we know then the Father of Lies just jumps on that and lays a beating on us and paralyzes us and holds us back. Well, isn't it gracious that God would say we can now come boldly? And he proclaims it as a truth. And it doesn't mean... It doesn't mean that we've done anything to make ourselves any better. He just decides to put on something brand new for us. He creates something new, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. A brand new person is made. And so now we, in defiance to what Satan says, to what the devil says, we come boldly to the throne because we are, in fact, sons and daughters of God. And in that, not only can we come boldly before him, but we can claim authority that he has given to us. And so we can walk in the situations that have been taken away from us and reclaim them because Jesus has already won it for us. And so I would challenge you to do that. Walk in. Let's not be fooled. We're almost lulled into this sleep of some sort where we forget that this gift that God gave to us is unbelievable. It's life-giving. It's life-transforming. And it makes us brand new. And so now we can come boldly before him. And by the way, we have a decision. We have to make that decision. In the scriptures, we have, in the scriptures, it tells us that we need to choose if we want Jesus to be in our lives. We need to allow him to be a part of our lives. In other words, this idea of surrendering and letting him actually change us. So in this sort of lulling kind of situation, we can be walking around taking control of our own lives and thinking we can make it the best we can. I've got control of it. It's all good. Yeah, I don't look so... Some things aren't going that great sometimes, but all in all, I think I'm doing pretty well with it. Well, you're being fooled if you're thinking that, because you need God to come in and transform and make new. And he's giving you an opportunity now to make that choice. There's a song that's kind of... Sorry for using this song, but there's a song called Jesus Take the Wheel. Heard that? Right? You heard that song. And some of you maybe saw the video. It's kind of cute, but actually it's very theologically bang on. Do we actually have to allow Jesus to take the wheel? So I'm going to leave you with a challenge this morning. And the challenge is like this. As we go to 2020, it's going to be exciting. And we're looking at kind of having a theme called Imagine. So it's time to dream. It's time for us to dream. And dream in all areas of your life. Whatever area you want to dream in it. But you do have to make a choice. Will you surrender to Jesus? And will you let him take control? Will you give him the keys? And the interesting thing, when you give someone the keys, and I've done this with my kids, you allow them to have the ability to take control of the vehicle that you're in. And in order for them to take control of the vehicle that you're in, you have to change your position. So you surrender. You change your position, you move over, and you allow someone else to take the wheel and to take control. In our lives, our position gets changed. We're no longer in control. We're no longer the ones that are going to run what's happening. We move over. We allow God to take control in our lives, to move in. And as he does that, it may seem like that's the wrong thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. He takes control. And then the God who's in control of all things can work in our lives and help make things new in so many ways. Maybe in decisions we've made financially. Maybe in decisions we've made relationally. Maybe in decisions we've made with our own goods that we have, whether giving it or not giving it to someone. Maybe how we are dealing with our relatives. As we give control, he's going to start changing that. That's going to be uncomfortable, but he has to be in control for it to happen. Because as we pull back control, we change position again, and we become the God. But as we give God control, we take our position where we were actually designed to be. And that is with him in control. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word and how clear it is, and how obvious it is that you've come to give us a good gift. So I pray that you'd help us to be clear in our heads, we'd be able to see what is and isn't sin, and we'd be able to walk in the truth that you give to us and enjoy your transforming power, the life that you have to give to us, the new position we have that puts us right where we need to be. We just commit that to you, God, and ask that you would move us through this week and into the new year, giving you control. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.